Everybody, it's Tony Robbins.
Hey guys, I'm Audrina Patrick.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
You're on the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're watching Hollywood Raw.
You're listening to and watching Hollywood Raw.
This is the Hollywood Raw podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glynn. The podcast humanizing Hollywood. From celebrities to media moguls, even paparazzi and bodyguards have come to break news, break their silence, or just have a great conversation on Hollywood Raw. If they're on Hollywood Raw, there's a reason. From Page Six to TMZ, Daily Mail, and People Magazine, everyone is talking about the Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax Holt and Adam Glynn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw podcast. I'm Dax Holt. Over there is Adam Glynn, and we have a phenomenal episode coming up for you. Someone that look up to, someone that we admire what they have done with their podcast platform and have really just turned it into a juggernaut of a platform for them. But we got Amanda Hirsch coming up. She is from the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. She has built this like massive global brand off of it and had landed some of the biggest interviews in pop culture, honestly. And so we're going to have her on here in a little bit. But hi, Adam. I should have said hi. I didn't even say hi.
Hi. No, I was listening. I was like, yeah, I'm excited for today's podcast too. She's killing it. I mean, the guests she gets on her podcast are just, they're better than some of, I bet you whoever's booking her show, they could get a job in Live with Kelly and Mark because they'd rather have them as the booker because she's just getting huge guests. But also to get these huge guests to talk for an hour, this is not like a 5-minute interview. And to open up and to have fun. And when they come on their show, they're fans of her. So I'm excited to have this conversation with her and hear her hot takes on Hollywood. Same here about her experiences growing up in New York. She's crushing it. I mean, she's doing really well. Dax, if you could have any guest on the podcast, celebrity-wise, I know we have to, but like, is there one, if I asked you today, if we have one guest on the podcast, celebrity, who would it be?
I would say Taylor, but it would be kind of for selfish reasons because it would be like the biggest interview on the entire planet. And no one has that kind of access to her right now. So I think that would be really cool. But there is like a double-edged sword with that because you have someone that famous, that recognizable, that the world is fascinated with. They are going to critique the shit out of your interview. In any aspect or detail that you don't know, they are going to rip you apart for. So there's that double. But can you imagine? Like, think about having Taylor Swift be like, yeah, I'll do the Hollywood Raw podcast. Like, that would change our whole lives. You know what I'm saying? To land such an incredible interview. And I think that I think about it a lot with my daughter and. My daughter's never really looked up to any celebs, but she does Taylor Swift. And Taylor Swift is one of those people that I don't have to worry that she's going to say something bad or do something bad, or that there would be any reason for me to worry about my daughter looking up to her because she is just, she's really good at the Taylor Swift brand. And I can always turn on any of her music and I can always I can trust in Taylor Swift that she's a good role model for my daughter. You know what I'm saying? And so those are the things that I really like about her. She's like that strong influence for girls, boys, everyone across the country. And it would be cool to have that chat. Okay. Enough about me.
You mentioned like an interview that would change your life and it would change your career, but also change your life. I actually had an interview that changed my life. And it was with Shaquille O'Neal, and this was back years ago. And it was just this interaction of like a paparazzi, which was what I was doing pretty much, and interacting with a celebrity and having this like sort of fun relationship that so many people saw that relationship that changed the way other celebrities treated me. So for me, that was – but honestly, my thing would be like Timothée Chalamet, but it's also if he would just be more real.
He would be more real, or we just don't know enough about him and that interview would humanize him more? Because it might not be that he might be, you just don't know enough about the guy yet.
Well, that too, but I also changed my answer to Kris Jenner because Kris Jenner would be the person.
Sorry, like Timothy, said, we've already booked someone else and her name is Kris Jenner.
We double booked. We got to go with Kris Jenner, K before T. And it would probably be Kris Jenner just because we haven't heard her spoke in a while. And I'm just very curious about the business behind the business. All right, enough of that. Our guest today, Amanda Hirsch, I'm excited to talk to her. Before we get to her, we read reviews. We love them. I love reviews. Sometimes I sit back on my couch at the end of the night and just go through the reviews and just read them over to myself to raise my self-esteem. Dax, raise my self-esteem now and read me a review.
All right, one comes from Creative Ace, 5-star. Adam doesn't have a face for radio. He is too handsome. There you go. It was perfect. You wanted me to raise your self-esteem. That one raises your self-esteem. So you can thank Creative Ace for that one. And then let me read one more. All right. This one comes from JKNYC, 5 stars. Oh, it actually says, the headline says 6 stars. This podcast is legit. I train and walk dogs for a few A and C list clients in New York City. And it's always fun to hear the stories and shenanigans of the industry. Adam, I hope I run into you on the street someday. Dude, we've never had a celebrity dog walker.
Yeah. DM me.
AJ NYC, feel free to hit us JK. Up in our DMs because I would love to hear some celebrity dog walking stories. I mean, we've had private jet flight attendants. We've had celebrity chefs. We've had bodyguards. Never a celebrity dog walker. Hit us up.
Hope to run into New York City. Come on the podcast. DM one of us. Hit us up on go join our private Facebook group called Off the Record. Dax, tell me about our guest today. I'm excited for her.
All right. Today, our guest is a podcaster, an internet personality, an internet sensation. We do not call her an influencer. She does not like that term. So we will stick to internet sensation. She is from the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast and brand. Amanda Hirsch, welcome.
Amanda, I'm so excited that you're here. When I told Dax you were, you know, said you're around, I was so excited because I'm a fan of what you're doing over there. And it's cool because you're also in New York City. You're not in Hollywood. You grew up in New York City. You live in New York City. As a New Yorker, who's the celebrity that you run into the most? The one that you see in New York the most?
I actually don't run into celebrities anymore. It's crazy. I grew up here, like you said. So I went to high school, like around like Lincoln Center. And I've always been like obsessed with celebrities and TV and movies. And I used to keep just a running list of all the people I'd run into. And it was wild amounts. But you know what I think it is? I think when you're younger and you live in New York and you grew up here, you're on the streets all day. Like, you're not going home. You know what I mean? So, like, I'd be in St. Mark's and I'd see, like, Angelina Jolie come in. Remember with her, like, new baby to get a tattoo in some dingy St. Mark's place. And I just saw Uma Thurman on the street. I saw so many people that, like, if people came to visit me and they'd be like, I want to see someone. I was like, don't worry, I got you. And I'd like find someone. Now I'm like, at the end of the day, like, I'm a mom. I'm on the Upper East Side. I'm not going anywhere unless I'm like needing to go. You know what I mean? I get in a cab. Yeah. It's not the same life of like walking the streets and like, my eyes were, the thing is, they're here. You just got to open your eyes. You know what I mean? Like, they're everywhere. Just go to St. Yep. Ambrose. You know what I mean? Go to, sure. You know, like, go to somewhere where you can get a reservation and you'll see.
Yesterday, what was it? Not 2 days ago, I was walking on Fifth Avenue. I saw Ethan Hawke walking with his sunglasses and his headphones and nobody recognized him. And I was like, Ethan. And then he even looked back. He just gives a thumbs up and keeps walking. And he didn't even look, he was like, ah, just give him, he thinks I'm probably some truck
he's
driver.
He's so but cool. He's so cool.
He's so cool. You know, it's so funny. One day I ran into him and we had him on the podcast, but we had Mark McGrath on the podcast. Me and Dax know Mark a little bit from time. We've been around him for a little bit. And I saw Ethan Hawke come out of a subway. But the thing is, I thought it was Mark McGrath. And I was like, Mark. And the guy ignores me. I go, Mark. And he keeps ignoring me. I'm like, Mark, it's Adam. And the guy turns around and goes, I'm not Mark McGrath. And then it was Ethan Hawke. And he got really pissed off. But then he kind of started to laugh. But I was so like, no, that's Mark McGrath. And but yeah, I'm surprised, you know, even in the Upper East Side, you don't see anybody like at the just kind of wandering around. Because when I Upper East Side, you know, I would see Gary Vee and I would see Michael Rapaport in the Upper East Side.
Oh, well, let me tell you about Michael Rapaport. His dad literally lives in my building.
Oh, get out.
He grew up in the building I live in. So I hear stories about him all the time, like just the way he was when he grew up. It all like really adds up. And I'll see him at like the local, I call it the geriatric Starbucks because everyone's like 125. And he sits there all day and just like people watches kind of. So he's around, I guess. And you know who else is around? And you'd never know. You'd think it's a doppelganger on the Upper East Side is Kate McKinnon from SNL.
Really?
I've seen her running before.
She's literally like walks around with a backpack. Like you're like, oh, you look like Kate McKinnon, but no way is that Kate McKinnon because you're getting on the crosstown bus, but it's like Kate McKinnon, you know?
I think sometimes it's even like that's a better way to dip in because people won't believe that it's you. So they're like, probably don't get bothered because they're like, no way is Kate on the bus. Like, move along. It's just someone that looks like her.
But you know what was wild? The day after the Met Gala of last year, which I can't believe it's been a year almost, but I went to St. Ambrose on the Upper East Side on Tuesday morning, and Anna Wintour and, oh my God, he's so hot and I forgot his name. The designer.
Yes,
that one designer, her friend. Yeah.
No, that you guys, that designer, like a huge one. I just have pregnancy brain, so I forgot his name right now. It's going to come to me in the middle. And she was there, and I was like, I can't believe I'm seeing Anna Wintour on, like, the Tuesday after the Met, like, debriefing. She's debriefing right now.
Weird for her to be in public, right? Like, when do you ever see her in public?
I know, and I was like, she's judging me. And then my friend was like, she's not looking at you. I was like, she hates my outfit. She's like, she really is not looking in your direction.
Well, here's the thing, because you are doing so well. So I got to imagine when you do run into a celeb, is there that weird, like, do they know me? Do they not know me? How do you like know whether you should approach them because they could have? It's like that weird time where you're pretty damn famous now, Amanda. So like, people recognize you.
I mean, my like followers, like my audience does, you know, and that's really nice. And a lot of them are like, I feel like they're all on the Upper East Side or something. I feel like it's like a community of like New York. A lot of Jewish. I don't know. I feel like it's a very, like, to me, I'm still like in this niche community that's like small and nice. But with the podcast, yeah, I get surprised when like cool ass celebs are like, I listen. I was like, you do?
Like Emma Stone?
Like Emma Stone. Yeah, that was wild because I was hired to do this red carpet for the VOOV, VOOV, by the way, you say it VOOV, not VOOV. Clicquot, the polo event. And I think it was supposed to be like Margot Robbie, the big get that they got for the carpet. And I was like nervous. I was like, she's so beautiful and you know, this and that. And then she ended up not coming and they got Emma Stone. And of course that's like fucking huge. And I'm such a fan. And then the first thing she says is like, oh, like I love your pod. And I was like, my what? What? Like, I can't believe it. It doesn't make sense to me. I really think they're lying to me and that they're like trying to be nice. But then, you know, when you realize it's not a lie, it's crazy. So I don't like, it's funny. Like when I was little, I was like coming up to people. And now I feel like I'm in this place where I'm like, I'm not going to come up unless like I've talked to you before. You know what I mean? Like, So I feel like more self-conscious about it now. But once I'm in the room, you know, just put me in the room and I'll act like I belong.
Yeah. That's part of it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I've interviewed a lot of people, but you've done it in a different way. You're sitting on a couch, you get 45 minutes to an hour with them. Sometimes you probably had a prior conversation with them before it kind of went down, maybe through DMs or through a text message somehow. I'm on the other hand, getting like a 2-minute conversation with them on the street while some guy's punching girls in the head next to, you know, what's going on in New York City. It's just crazy what's going on. You know, I'm on the street.
I mean, now people are actually punching people.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing is, though, it's like a self-concern for me. It's like when I run into them again, I don't know if they remember me, because I don't know if they just think I'm some guy on the street, they remember some random guy on the street, or if they know my face. So I get a little bit awkward. And then when they come up to me and like, oh, you remember me, even though I did interview them for 2 minutes, but they kind of remember. But for you, do you feel like when you run into these celebrities again, let's say you had a celebrity on the show and you run into them at an event and wherever you are, do you feel like you have to reintroduce yourself, or have you had to do that? Say, hey, my name's Amanda. You came on my podcast. It's Not Skinny, Not Fat. Yeah. Have you had those type of awkward conversations or interactions with people yet?
Not really awkward, because I feel like for me, you know, people are so confused about how podcasts work. Like, people are always like, you know, do you pay them? Like, you know, or why do they? And it's like, no, they're coming on for press, which took me a while to learn. I remember when we were sending out pitches at first and stuff, or I think like, why don't they just want to come on like in the middle of the week? You know, now I know it's like, okay, they'll probably do it. Even if they like me, they'll probably do it when they have a project, you know, like it's not going to happen in the middle of the year when, you know, they just want to be at home with their kids. Like, so usually for me, like, cause I also try to think about it a lot, cause I'm such an overthinker, like, how is this happening? Or like, how did I manage this? Or like, what, you know? And I think I've discovered that it's like this, obviously, like a lot of moving parts. Some of it, it's like relationships that I've like cultivated over the years. And like, after 3 years was like, come on my podcast, not like after 5 minutes, you know what I mean? So it's like people that follow me and we have talked in the DMs, like you said, or whatever. And then the people where it's like, I'll get a press pitch from them and their PR set it up for them and they don't know who I am. I'll do my fucking best to make them really like me by the end of the interview. And that's my goal in life. It's like, just like me, you know? And I think I managed to do that in a way, which always makes me feel, I'm like, that's more important to me. And I think at the end of the day, like, that's more important to me than getting a scoop or a headline or like a thing that nobody knows. I want them to like have loved being on the show, felt good about the conversation, are happy when the press comes out. And it's like, cause like if they're famous, like you'll get press, you know what I mean? Like you'll get the nuggets. Sometimes you'll get nuggets even if you weren't intending to. So I'm never really trying to be like, so dumb, dumb, you know what I mean? So I feel like there's always like a nice relationship after, cause they feel good about it. And they like the way that they came out of it. And they like the headlines that came from it. And so that's really important to me. So I haven't had that because I really try to like make it super like intimate and conversational and like, you know, so.
Is there any like true friendships that have been born from them being a guest on your podcast to now these are like your friends? Like these are the people that you're inviting to the baby shower?
No. So baby shower, no. First of all, I didn't want to do a baby shower. It was like a sponsored thing. It was last night, by the way. I don't know if you were just giving it.
I didn't know. I just happened to throw it out.
So no. And then I'm like, oh, people are going to think I like did this baby shower. I invited like 5 people, like 2 of them being my sisters. I'm not like an eventy person. I also hate putting that pressure on like people, you know, but no, I would say like, I think it does remain like an industry friend level. You know what I mean? And yeah, you could get dinner, you get lunch, you get coffee, but it's not the like, you know, friends that you grew up with and invite to things and whatever, which is fine.
Which celebrity, you know, from that, you know, based on conversation, maybe that you didn't have on the podcast. Well, you had him on the podcast, but after the conversation on the podcast, was like the most gossipy. Who loved like the game of Hollywood?
They all fucking love it, which I love, which is so surprising because I'm like, people, you know, I'm like, people don't know that you're like into this shit. People think you're above this shit. They don't know that you're responding to like most of my stories about other celebs or, you know, giving me tea, but they all, I feel like they all love it. And it's really this new, like I said, like, and you guys too, I've loved this shit since I was like a kid, you know, and since I was, when it wasn't cool and I went to high school in New York City and everyone was like super liberal and like protesting and I was like looking for celebs on the street, you know? So like I've been in this when it was like embarrassing and shallow and like, you know, and now it's like fucking everybody. That's like the small talk. If you don't know celeb shit, if you don't know what's going on in pop culture, like what are you going to talk about? You know,
no, so Dax and
it's
I had
funny how many celebs stay on after we're done with our interview. And they're like, okay, tell me what really happened then. Or what's the craziest thing you've seen here? Like they
and you're like, you tell me. And you're like, you give me the tea. How about that? You know
exactly.
What I mean? Thank you. I know.
Dax and I always said we had issues. We always had issues trying to prove the girls were not gay because we know so much about entertainment news and Hollywood culture. But no, we're not gay. I just know about Angelina Jolie. I promise you. It's really weird. Are you at the level of fame now? If you want to get a reservation at Carbone, it's pretty easy for you?
No. I don't really? I don't play the game that well, which is to my I think it worked in my favor in a lot of ways, you know? And I think I couldn't really not feel cringe if I did those things, but no, I don't really play the game. Like I did get a reservation at Carbone when I wanted to, because I like knew, you know what I mean? But it's like,
sure.
There's certain restaurants where I do, certain restaurants where I don't, but I'm not like trying to go to the Polo Bar every day. Like that's not my vibe, you know? Like I'm going to Israeli restaurants and like eating hummus. Like I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to do that.
Give me that shawarma.
Shawarma.
Yeah.
I love shawarma. Yeah. Give me some shawarma any day, guys. So Amanda, what was that point in your career where like, what was the interview or that moment where you felt like things changed? Like what was that get that like really put you on the map and all of a sudden your downloads skyrocketed? Was it like a Kim Kardashian thing? Like, well, who was the interview that was like, oh damn, everyone
solidified,
knows
yeah.
about me, or things have changed now?
Well, I didn't think it at the time, because I think I'm very like a live in the moment, like kind of person. And for me, it's more exciting to like live it than to think about like, wow, this is gonna, you know? But yeah, I mean, the Kardashians were really fucking big and came out of, I mean, till this day, when I tell the story of how it happened, I'm like, I wouldn't believe me. Like if someone was like, oh, this girl, she had a podcast, like she had a lot of reality TV people and, you know, like lower level celebrities or whatever. And then Kim Kardashian wanted to come on her podcast. I'd be like, nope, doesn't sound.
Yeah. How did it all go down?
So it was really like, I guess they'd been like following me in a way that I didn't know for a while, because then I think Kim said on my podcast, like she was following me from her Finsta. I'm so naive. I don't even think about celebs having Finstas. You know what I mean? Like I never think it. Mm-hmm. And then she started following me from her real account. I remember like freaking out and be like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. And then it was like an incoming pitch from Hulu. You know, Hulu, when they moved over, they were like, hi, the Kardashians is moving to Hulu, as you may know. Would Not Skinny But Not Fat like to have Kim Kardashian on? And I was like, what is this? Like,
you're like, is Ashton Kutcher behind this? What's happening?
Right. No, exactly. So I like Google the like Hulu Disney person and I'm like, okay, she's a real person. This is fucking crazy. So obviously, like I said, yes. And then the rest from there. And then, you know, Kim was so happy with the interview. And then they followed up like from the family team and were like, when are you doing Khloé? And I was like, what? And then that happened. And then Courtney has always been my like number, like I always wanted to have Courtney. And then whenever I'd see her, I'd be like jealous that like Kim and Khloé came, and she was like, nah. And then finally she came out with Lemmy and like had a purpose and had a reason, and we were able to do that. But I think that maybe to like people was like, wow, like I spent a lot of years in Israel and there they like were freaking out about these interviews. And here, you know, it's interesting because whenever like, because I don't have like a publicist or anything, but I get approached a lot and I'm always like, I don't think I need one or want one. And the only time I look back and I'm like, that would have been a moment, you know, where it's like this random girl with a podcast gets the Kardashians. Like, that's a moment where if you had a publicist or had somebody to be like, who's this chick that like managed this? You know what I mean? Because I look back and I'm like, it does look like a surprising thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I never, I don't know. It's been a slow build too. Like, I've had my podcast since 2019. We're in 2024. I started like everything I'm doing in like 2016, you know, like I'm not an overnight sensation by any means. So to me, it's not like I woke up and had 1 million followers. Like, I don't even have 1 million followers. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't, and I'm not even wanting that. So I'm just like so into like what I'm doing and so passionate about it and feel so like I'd be fucking doing this if I wasn't making a dollar and if it wasn't A-list celebs and it was like reality TV people. Cause that's sometimes those fucking interviews are way juicier, you know, reality yeah. TV people. You're like, so who did you have sex with last night? Like, you don't give a shit, you know? You're so like, true. So how much was your ring? Did it cost? I just, yeah, with reality TV people, it's like a different, it's a different kind of fun for
and,
me.
And why Courtney out of all the girls? I'm just curious because I feel like each person has their like Kardashian that they are in love with, that they passionately follow. Why Courtney?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you remember, things have changed with Travis a little bit. Like, she did change, but I loved her like style more so back in the day. She was like just different, more like you could see yourself wearing those jeans and that shirt. And I could never see myself wearing what like Kim and Khloe are wearing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that I liked that she wasn't that into it, you know, and I could tell. I feel like I could tell. I feel like I have this like celeb telepathy power where I was like, before she even came out with like the boundaries and like, I don't want to be on the show and like all these things. I was like, she's not that into this. Like, I don't know. I felt like there was something deeper with her. And there's like a lot. Like, she talks about therapy and about this. And she's constantly like going through the relationships and, but I felt like there was like more that like I could be friends with her, you know, and she didn't prove me. Yeah. And she proved me kind of right. Like whenever I met her, like Kim and Khloe, they're all very nice, like so nice to me. And really, but with Courtney, it feels like I could hang out, you know, eat a salad kind of,
All I picture is that one girl on IG who imitates them just shaking the salad. Do you know who I'm talking about?
What's you know her name? They don't like that, though, by the way.
It seems like Khloe does. Khloe seems to find Khloe, it very entertaining.
Maybe Khloe does. I know. Khloe's chill, but I think the other ones don't really like it. Like, they don't like when somebody makes it their whole personality to imitate them, you know? Mm. I feel like they find the negative in it. That's why when I was trying to understand why they like me, because before, first of all, when I had way less followers, I was obviously being a little bit more savage with like my takes and my thoughts. And so I'm like, how long were you watching? Because I don't know what I was saying. But I think they liked that. Like, I think they were like, oh, she's not sucking our dick, but she's not like kissing our ass. But she's not being a total bitch. It's somewhere in the middle. And it's kind of nice. That's what I think.
Love it.
Who is this celebrity currently that you're obsessed with the most? Like, someone who just kind of came on your radar and I just can't get enough of. I love following them. I love their content. I love whatever work they do. Who is that person for you right now?
I don't know. That's a good question. What? I don't love anybody's content. Let me put it that way. Nobody's content is like really turning me on, especially celebrities trying to make content. You know what I mean?
Well, then who's the celebrity that you actually can't get into? The one that's kind of the media, the press, the outlets are shoving in her face. That you're just like, I'm not turned on by this person. Like, it's not doing it for me.
Mm. Well, I have an anti-culture thing that anybody that the media is really trying to throw in my face, I'll immediately develop an anti. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, if you're really trying to make this happen, then I'll be like, damn it, I like this person. Why are you? I don't not like, but I think that like I was a very, you know, outspoken about not being into the Barbie movie and everything sure. that came with it. And, you know, the nominations were kind of wild to me. And
that's
the like
so funny because I have said that and people like crucify me for saying it. I'm like, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
Whether it was an Academy nominated film, I don't know if I was at that level with it. It was yeah. entertaining. If there wasn't so much buzz around it, would it have become one of the top grossing movies all time? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like it hit at a right time, right place. Mm-hmm. But like it was okay. It was yeah. an okay movie.
I mean, I watched it with my family of girls, you know, and my mom was like, what is this stupid shit? You know what I mean? I was like, mom, this is the most like talked about movie. And my sisters were like, what? So I was like, no, this is supposed to be really good. So I wasn't that into it. I didn't die over all the, you know. The hoopla and even the acting, like I think that Ryan was good and he's like funny and he leaned in, but like I was still like not feeling it that much. And I think Greta's great. I really liked her like independent movie, you know what I mean? When she did mm-hmm. like Frances Ha and like Lady Bird and stuff, but I wasn't that into it. But I think I can say it more than you can say it because you're a dude and it makes you like.
I was watching it with my daughter, so there you go.
Did your daughter like it?
She found it entertaining.
I don't even think it's for kids. Yeah, it's not really for kids.
I'm not saying the message was. I thought it had a good message.
Yeah.
Again, I go back to if you're comparing it to some of the greatest movies of all time that get nominated in the Academy Awards, that's where I have a weird challenge with it.
Yeah, poor Bradley Cooper. He really wanted an award this year, and it didn't happen for him.
I know.
No.
He's really upset.
Sydney Sweeney. It feels like she's being like forced down our throats a little bit. Everywhere, Sydney.
Adam is dying for some tea. Adam is dying for some tea.
I need that soundbite. But what are my thoughts with Sydney Sweeney is I actually think she's really charming, and I think she has fun with it a little bit too. That's the one thing that's it's not like she shies away from it, which I appreciate. She like, you could tell she's enjoying.
But does she lean in too much? Is your question?
Is it being pushed onto us a little too much? The whole Sydney.
I mean, you kind of know. Like, I was gonna say like, I'm not trying to be coy and like not give an answer. I think I was gonna say like, give me names. I'll tell you what I think. Yeah, Sydney Sweeney. Like the thing that's hard with, you know. Which I literally bow down to so many women that are gorgeous and amazing and hot all day. And the minute you'll say something a little bit negative about, you know, a woman, then it's like, you hate women or you're, and I'm like, I literally like suck their dicks all day. I'm like, how hot is this person? And how amazing is she? And I'm obsessed with her. So I think it's okay to be obsessed with some people and be less obsessed with other people. I think Sydney Sweeney, I'll tell you the truth. What was that movie called? Anybody But You? The press tour, like, really irked me.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. irked me. I think that, like, the, like, trying to get us to think her and Glenn are hooking up, which he basically admitted to and she basically admitted to. Like, they admitted to the fact that they were, like, playing that game.
That's
which
weird.
Which is like, not cool. It's also not cool. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then at least say like, oh my God, no, we weren't. We just have good chemistry. I just think that they both said it. Glenn said, Sydney is so much better at this than me. I had a girlfriend at the time. He kind of even insinuated that it like ruined the relationship because the girlfriend literally, they broke up during this shit. Meanwhile, her fiance is like producing the movie, sitting there enjoying this like, display, you know what I mean? Of like her pretending that she's like, so I don't know. I found it very, very like put on. I think you can create buzz for a movie without trying to get people to think that you're having an affair, you know, and that your fiance is like sitting there. So that actually turned me off. Not people actually got turned off by her when she was like, I need the money because like my publicist costs $5,000. You remember that article people got pissed at?
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have money or something. I didn't even care that much about it. I was like, whatever. People really are still angry about it. They're like, do you have the money now? Because she like made so much money off this movie. But I also think she just said she was being like overly sexualized. And I'm like, well, your boobs are entirely out on every red carpet. So it's like, she does have like things that she says. You're right. She's having fun with it. But I don't like, I don't think she's doing it in a way that like, I kind of, the people that I like bow down to and I'm like, oh my God, you know, are people that like are just so cool, you know, and do it in this like cool way.
Yeah. I was going to say, who do you think has like the best, I don't know if it's PR strategy, PR team, if they're just savvy themselves, but who do you think like,
no, but they I know think like Emma Stone, like I feel like she just makes it fun, makes it cool. She's an Oscar winning actress and she can like crack a joke. She did so much press for fucking, you know, she was everywhere. And I don't feel like she would ever try to make a headline that she's like maybe having an affair with her co-star. You know, that would be like off limits to her family, to whatever. I don't know. I didn't like that. That irked me. And I will, you know, I will say that like I haven't seen Euphoria, which is talking to people, but I've seen like when I saw Sydney and other stuff, I was like, I don't like, I'm not really like a huge, wasn't feeling like, and she's just so amazing as an actress, like wasn't really,
I think when someone's personality is what gets them the press, like Adele has a great personality. So like when she talks at her concerts or does fun shit, that to me is the kind of press I like, or even like a Jennifer Lawrence.
Right.
Jennifer Lawrence has a really fun personality. And that's where you get the most press around the movie because she's being goofy with the reporter or she's doing something. That's the kind of PR I think really hits with people.
Yeah, like think about Justin Timberlake sitting with Jimmy Fallon saying, I don't know, maybe I'm coming out with new music. That's just, it just wasn't cool. You know what I mean? He expected a Taylor Swift-like response. And there was like silence. I felt actually a little bit bad for him.
You know what's something about Justin Timberlake, by the way? I actually wanted to tell you about this, Dax. Did you guys listen to his new album?
No. I didn't. I put this on my Instagram. I was like, don't ask me if I listened to an album. I'm never like starting the album at one and just like going. I'm not. But I guess people do. But I specifically didn't. But what'd you think of it?
Well, I listened to like 30 seconds of it just to find like this song I'm going to like, you know, each song.
I listened to the album. I got 30 seconds.
30 seconds of each song to see which songs I'm going to like. New album is just not great. And I think that's been the theme of Justin Timberlake's albums is there's maybe one to two decent songs, not great songs, but decent songs. And then the rest of the album is the same sound. It's very slow and very flat. I don't know if that's from him working with Timberland and they should just kind of do something else, but like,
wait, Timberland is still producing.
He's still producing music. He's still working with Timberland. It's just like, what year is this? Right.
Wait, does but it's just like, Timba?
The whole
does
thing
he...
is just flat. Whereas like Justin Bieber is good. Not that I know. Cause again, I only listen to 30 seconds of each song.
Did you guys see that Variety article that was like how to gracefully age as a pop star? I know. And they put Justin and J-Lo as the main photo. And it was like obvious, like that's how not to, you know what I mean? Like not like visibly, but that people think, by the way, J-Lo, I don't know your thoughts, but I've been an advocate because I'm, like I said, anti-culture. So if everyone's coming for J-Lo, I'm going to be like, why is everybody coming for J-Lo? Like, why are some people, J-Lo can fucking say anything and people can tear her to shreds. And if Taylor Swift wears ugly pants, you can't be like, oh, I didn't like those pants. Like, you'll be murdered. Like, it just doesn't make sense that, like, with J-Lo. And then people are like, oh, she's so rich. She's so famous. She doesn't care. Like, she cries herself to sleep because she wants people to love her. And people are just being so mean to her.
Have you guys met her?
Can you say as like...
I have. She's very cool.
She was nice to you. So like everyone says she was cool.
She's a pro. She's a legend. She handles everything with class. From my experiences I've seen, I've been around there, decently often. And she's just like that old, that old school Hollywood. It's what you want, paparazzi. She doesn't hide, but she's not going to stop and pose. She does her thing. She acts like you don't exist, which I kind of think is kind of cool. And just there's an energy when she walks around. Like
she doesn't say hi. Like, them act like you don't exist?
No, but like she's talked to me before. One time on the street, she was walking up. She was walking up Madison Avenue, and she had a security guy with her. And I said, Jennifer, when's the last time you bought something on Canal Street? And she starts to laugh, and she starts to talk about how she grew up and bought stuff on Canal Street growing up. And, it was a question that, got her attention and made her kind of laugh. And it was, fun. When's the last time she thought about Canal Street? But she still handles everything. She doesn't, she doesn't shit on the paparazzi. She doesn't, tell you guys to go F off and get a new job. She doesn't hide. She just lives her life, which I respect.
Who says go F off and get a new job?
It's just like good energy.
Who says go F off and get a new job?
Actually, probably one of our mutual friends, Alec Baldwin.
Mutual friends? Yeah. I mean, yeah. What, you know that I'm blocked?
Yeah.
I'm blocked.
Yeah, you're blocked by Alec Baldwin, right? How's that going? Is he lifting the block, or how do we fix that?
I mean, he didn't lift the block, and it was a little hurtful. I'm not blocked by people, because I'm really not, mean. And I genuinely don't think that I was mean about Hilaria. I was blown away and interested and thought it was, but I really wasn't mean. I think that, he's probably mean. You know what I mean?
You want to know who blocked me?
Yeah.
Ashton Kutcher.
What? Why?
Ashton Kutcher blocked me, and he was... So he did this whole pop chips punked, and he punked the TMZ, all the people at TMZ one time, had cameras outside of our studios. When we came out, we're just asking the most random questions to the point where it wasn't even funny. It was just what are you talking? I don't understand what's happening. And then blocked me. I'm like, I didn't even do anything. You punked me.
What?
And then blocked me. I'm like, I don't get it.
Maybe you don't know how to find him on Instagram. It's A Pulsk, which is so weird. And it took me years to understand why.
A plus K.
Right. See, yep. I forgot again. So, yeah. But by the way, they're off a little bit. It's so easy for years to have been they're so cute, that 70s show. And then you see their weird, and I'm not even talking about post Danny Masterson letter of support. Even before, they're always in these videos together, facing the camera, hey, me, I don't know. You're gazillionaires. Look, I don't know. Something is a little weird for me there. I don't know if they're either too normal or too trying to be normal or too trying to look like they're normal. But yeah, that was a really, and I feel like Mila has a lot of sass, sass. I feel like she has some underlying bitchiness there.
No, he was just never my cup of tea. I was not a 70s show fan. I never watched the show. I watched Dude, Where's My Car? And that was about it. And then he was in your face with Punk'd, and he really kind of went a whole different direction. And good, as long as they're happy, but yeah, he's a unique guy. But I want to ask you about a show that I think I'm pretty sure you're a fan of, Vanderpump Rules. Jax. So this whole thing with Jax Taylor. Okay. Do you think that Jax and Brittany are actually breaking up, or do you think it's a PR stunt? What do you think's going on there?
I think so. I'm naive when it comes to these things. So I believe it. I don't think it's a stunt. I also know their PR person really well. And if it ends up being a stunt, I'm going to stop answering her texts. But I don't think it's a stunt. I think they may be really leaning in because that's what reality TV people do. But my experience with Vanderpump Rules, actually Vanderpump Rules in 2016 probably was up to season 5. I was like, oh my God, let me start this show, Vanderpump Rules. I started from season 1. I had probably 20,000 followers from memes that I was posting at the time or something. And I started like recapping the show, but in like retrospect, like season one. And I will say like that really started kind of a thing. Because it was so random that I was doing this, but people were really into it. They were rewatching with me. They were rewatching it through my eyes. And I was calling myself like as a gag, like the VPR ambassador, which is so funny because I was 7 years late. And I just got so into it. I was like, what is this reality show that's like people are having sex with each other in the other room, cheating on everybody? Like, I really think it's like the OG. It's my, like, that's my shit. And then like I actually met the people and like to this day, like talk to them, we'll text them, be like, wait, you know, what happened? Like, Katie's a friend, Lala's a friend. So I know that like it's legit. They're always fight. Like it's legit. These people really live this life. Like, yes, the cameras are set up, but like everything that happened happened. There was not one thing on Vanderpump Rules that's like made up. You know what I mean? Like it's not made up at all. So I don't want to think that like this Valley bullshit is, you know, I think they might be leaning in, which is like, Jax, that's your comeback. Like we know he's dying for a comeback. You know what I mean? But I want to ask you something else. I want to ask you, since we were talking about people being kind of forced down our throats, do you think the Ariana Scandoval thing went too far? How wild is it that she's getting, I mean, she just got another gig. It's not over yet. She just got
Love Island. Yeah.
Love Island. Yeah.
Love Island. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Adam and I have talked about this, but we feel like this was, sadly enough to say it, the best thing that could have ever happened to her career. This cheating scandal has rocket launched her to, I don't want to say necessarily household name, but pretty close, right? Like everyone, that drama took over the headlines for literally months. And if that scandal didn't happen, I don't know if VPR would have even come back because the show was dying off. But it re-engaged the audience. It re-engaged people's love or hatred for different characters on the show. And so she got a lot of attention. She, like you said, she's now hosting Love Island. Like, you replace Sarah Hyland on a show with a reality star is blows my mind. You know what I'm saying? So I think that she has to look back at a certain point and be like, it was shitty to go through, but look at where I'm at now.
You would want her to own it more, you're saying? And then you'd like that?
I think, and I'm not saying now, but I think down the road, being able to be like, you know what? It was crappy. I didn't enjoy
because what I think we went through. I'm trying to think of how she answers it now, because obviously she gets asked that question. I think now she's saying like, she has a very calculated answer about it, where it's not saying, oh, it's completely unrelated, but she's kind of saying like, this is what I always wanted to do. Thankfully, like I'm getting offers now to do it. You know what I mean? She's saying it in a very, maybe it would be nice to have somebody own it a little bit more. Cause like, obviously the audience is savvy. We're all aware of what's going on. But yeah, that's when pop culture and media can ruin something. Cause it's like, I loved Ariana always, you know what I mean? On Vanderpump Rules. Actually, here's a funny story. The day that Scandoval broke, I was like texting with her and then all of a sudden saw her Instagram was gone. And I was like, oh my God, what happened? Your Instagram is deactivated. And she answered me and said, oh, nothing, just, you know, something like they're monsters. They were monsters and, you know, trying to ruin my life and theirs and, you know, said something very dramatic. And I was like, okay, hope everything's okay. And then literally an hour later, this is breaking. And I'm like, oh my God. Like I was there. Like I was just talking to her. And the thing is before that happened, like you guys remember when Stassi was like the most famous. Nobody else could come close. Nobody had the star power, charisma. Mm-hmm. They were all like a little jealous of it. Like they all like they're an ensemble cast. And here's one person getting all the attention. And And for years, I think that Ariana felt like, kind of like she was on the show, but she wasn't getting the accolades or the recognition or the deals or anything. So to go from that, I mean, I went to see her in Chicago, and I was sitting there and I was going like, this is fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. Like from, like I had her on the podcast, like she always kind of felt like nobody gives a shit about her. She's on the show. Stassi's getting on, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, like fucking star shit. And I'm like, okay, that's great. But all I'm wondering is like, I don't know, to me, like Lala has like, so like, first of all, she's fucking gorgeous. And she's like, can cry on command, I think. She cries so much. Like it has to be like, she has to be knowing how to do that. I don't know. I'm like, why isn't Lala like getting opportunities? Like, I just feel sometimes bad for the other castmates. Like even the playing field a little bit, like they must be. And then they're surprised. Like Sheena's jealous. Like, of course Sheena's jealous. Are you kidding me? Like, look what she's getting.
Yeah.
Adam, well, weren't you hanging out with Sheena?
I was with Sheena and Raquel that day. It happened, well, they found out that night what was going on, but I was with Raquel and Sheena that day. We did a kind of like a thing together. And then all of a sudden I got them like paid. I got them a paid gig. And then that night,
you could have seen the punch. You could have seen the punch.
So I got invited to I got invited to watch what happens that night when they were doing it together, Sheena and Raquel. And I turned it down. I was like, I'm just not going to go. Just whatever. I don't need to go. The next day, Sheena hits me up and said, hey, can you pay me and Raquel separately somehow? We got into a fight last night. And I was like, "What?" It was like weird. You guys got into a fight 20 hours before. You're telling me how you're so excited to get to watch what happens together because you're such great friends and you're so happy that you're finally paired with someone you actually like. And then you say you got into this fight, you know, and now you guys want to be paid separately, even though it's supposed to be together. It was very weird. And then all of a sudden, 2 days later, I'll tell you the truth, Johnny Bananas, who's a buddy of mine, Johnny Bananas hits me up. He's like,
"Oh my god, you guys are like this really is after similar." The story.
I know. So Johnny hits me up 2 days later, and he's like, "Oh man, I was with them, or Tom Sandoval told me the story. What happened? I could have broke the story with you. I just forgot." I was like, "Dude, are you kidding me? Why didn't you tell me, you idiot? Like, you should have told me this when everything was going down." Cause I was all like, what is going on? But, like Bananas kind of, you know, was with Sandoval. Sandoval told him the story. So it was kind of unique, but here's what I'll say regarding the whole situation. Not just Ariana really did well with the situation. The whole cast monetized that situation. The whole cast, It really elevated all their careers. I mean, James all started DJing hard. You know, his gigs went up. Like, the whole cast went in demand. Everyone kept talking. They're doing as many interviews as possible, talking about the situation. They all gassed it up, which I have to imagine they all got paid more for the next season. You know, they could all put in their contract to get to work together to get paid even more for the next season of Vanderpump. So
yeah, well, people are actually feeling like this season isn't giving enough, and that it might, you know, people. Here's what I think: Ariana, she came into this season already. We know she got Dancing with the Stars, right? So she was already kind of getting stuff from this. So I think she came in with like a plan. Like, I'm not gonna go in too hard. I want to keep on getting these gigs. That's way more important to me than this reality show. So she's really not like, so far in the season, she's not really like giving, you know what I mean? She's not giving what she should be giving. Like, Katie's doing the work for her, which I'm like, you know, don't want her to get all the heat. But let's see what happens.
This is the moment you have to give, though, because if you want to keep that attention on you and you want to keep the gigs flowing in,
right?
Trust me, you got to bring it to reality show, because that's where your audience, your core audience is. And then just keep the other outside gigs going from when you're not filming. But if you start to be vanilla on a show, people are going to be over you.
Right. It's a very, very good take. I agree. I agree.
Before we let you go, you know, again, you've interviewed so many people on your podcast. And I got to imagine, it's such a great podcast. I mean, even recently you had Kristen Stewart on. I mean, you're doing an interview with Kristen Stewart. You're getting interviews that, I mean, you're honestly, whoever's booking you, you're getting better guests than some of the bigger late night shows.
No, here's the thing. I don't book. I don't have a booker. It's all me.
Wow. That's awesome. Just that's so pretty know. Awesome.
Which I well, think is... which I think is like, yeah, it's a nice part of it because you get to know the industry more that way, you know, and you get to know the people that are doing it and the PR people and the moving parts. And so, yeah, sorry. Go on.
You've had some huge names on your podcast. Who, in your opinion, I mean, they're all beautiful, but who's the one that you met in person that actually blew you away of how great looking they looked in person? The one that's like, man, you're like an avatar. You're not a real person.
Damn. That's a good question. Who was an avatar?
I'll give you mine. Like for mine, when I saw her in person the first time, Miranda Kerr, obviously that's a tough one. And then also Charlize Theron. When I seen Charlize Theron, you're like, man, if she walks into St. Ambrose, everyone's going to turn and be like, who is this girl?
Because
she
really?
Just stands out of a room. And then Miranda Kerr, it's like, she's got that pretty girl smell. She's got everything. She's like, man, you are, you know,
you're
and they walk by you.
You're sniffing away.
Oh, totally, dude. Totally. She's got like that wind when they walk by you. And it's like, man, they smell.
Oh, yeah. No, I always sniff. But I'll sniff like a homeless person. You know what I mean? I'll be like, why are you sniffing now? Like, this is when you don't. I'm like, I wonder what he smells like. I don't have one. I'm really sorry, Adam. I don't. I didn't have an avatar. I didn't have an avatar.
I've seen Kim numerous times.
Yeah, Kim is wild.
She is ridiculously pretty. Like, beautiful, beautiful. And you can tell. So there's a lot of celebs, men and women, that will wear makeup. But you can tell that their skin isn't nice underneath. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kim is one of those people that you can tell her skin is even beautiful underneath the makeup. But she's just gorgeous. And I would say that about Paris Hilton, too. Like, unbelievably gorgeous up close in person. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, no, Kim was definitely like in real life, like, oh my God, you are tiny, first of all. Mm-hmm. You know, you can put her in your pocket. I think that's what you realize too. Like, everyone's way tinier than you think they are.
Yeah.
Kim, you know what I mean?
Tiny.
Everyone's teeny, fucking tiny, and you're like feeling like a, what does Taylor Swift say? Like a,
like a giant.
Yeah, but she says, like, yeah.
An ogre?
Like a monster on the hill. Yeah, that's how I feel whenever I interview people. I'm like, hi, you know?
All right, so I've got one. I have one last question for you because I know our time is like quickly going away here. I just need to know, what was it like having one-on-one time with Kristen Stewart? Because she is one of those people, she doesn't do a lot of interviews. She's still very mysterious.
Yeah.
But getting to sit down... Was she awkward at all? Was she totally chill? Because Kristen has always gives me this, like, she feels awkward doing interviews kind of vibe. But what was it like?
So I was really, I don't really get nervous about interviews just because, like, I go in prepared. I like, you know, I want that person to be on. You know, no one's forcing me being like, interview this person you don't care about. So, but I was nervous here because I was like, she's so cool. Like, she's so cool. And I'm like a blonde basic bitch. And like, she probably doesn't have a TV. And like, you know, and she won't think I'm cool. So I was like spiraling about that. And she was so fucking cool. But and not to toot my own horn, but I think like, I'm so excited about it because I really do feel like a different side of her came out in the interview. Like, she was funny, and she was like, she was imitating the way I talk. She'd be like, and I was like, Kristen. So she was so cool and funny and like, what, not her old like fidgety self at all. And I was like, I think it's a combination of like, maybe she did come into her skin more in the last few years, and then maybe she also like is better long form than like the 10 minutes on a carpet where somebody asks her, like, her personality in this interview really shone through. And like, after that, she was like, can we take a selfie? And I was like, I can't, you know, we were taking pictures, but she wanted to like take a selfie and like do all this like shit. And I was like, you're so cool. So she was so cool. And she started following me from her Finsta. And I'm following her Finsta, so we're friends now. And I'm like, she's going to see that I'm so dumb and she's going to hate me, but this is life, you know? So, cause I'm like, maybe don't follow me. You know what I mean? Like you want the connection, but you're also like, you're going to be disappointed real quick. You know what I mean? You're going to be like, I'm reading. Like, what are you doing with your life?
I felt when you get celebrities to follow you, there's a lot more pressure. So Kim used to follow me on Twitter, and the pressure that I suddenly felt when posting stuff, I was like, well, if she's going to see this, I don't want to look like a fucking moron. So I need to like, so I was overthinking everything. So it's sometimes better not to have.
You have to, especially with what I do, which is also talking about celebrities a lot of the time, I have to ignore it, because if I didn't, then I wouldn't say anything anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like we said, at the end of the day, 9 out of 10 of them love it. And what's even more fun is when I'm like, I have this take, right? Like I have my opinions. I'm like Anne Hathaway or whatever. And then all of them are like, yes, 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 yes. You know? And you're like, love it when I'm right.
Amanda, you have been awesome. Oh, Adam, you have one last thing.
I'll say one last thing. You've had incredible guests. How close, or is there any talk of you getting an interview with Taylor Swift?
There's no talk. I think sometimes you wonder, like, did I burn a bridge? Because, you know, I'm not sucking dick. You know what I mean? Like I'll be like, I love Taylor. I went to her concert, listen to her music. But like I've said also things that aren't, you know, and could be that there are people keep tabs on it. So, but at the same time, I can't like limit how I feel about things in hopes that I would get a guest. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there are no talks about Taylor Swift. But I would love that. I would love that.
Well, I hope there. For your case, they call you and get her in. I mean, not that she needs more press. My God, the woman's most famous person on the entire planet right now. I would love to hear that like long format interview with her. That to me sounds like it would be awesome. But honestly, thank you so much for taking time out of your crazy day to sit down, chat with us, and just kind of open up about your life. I, you know, obviously for anyone who has not tuned in, which there's not very many people that haven't listened to your podcast, but the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast is huge. It just seems like it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Go listen to the Kristen Stewart episode. Go listen to the Amy Schumer episode. Go listen to Andy Cohen and Kim Kardashian and all the other billions of amazing guests that she has had. And we appreciate your time so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys. This was fun. Thank you.
Dude, she's a legend. What a legend right there, huh?
Dude, the amount of guests that she is getting on like a weekly basis, I want to be jealous, but I'm also so happy for her because her podcast has blown up so much that like it's unreal. And I'm thinking like she's saying, oh, I started back in like 2018. I'm like, well, so did we.
I know. She's good. You know, she makes good content. She's not an influencer. She hates the word influencer because I actually don't think she's an influencer. Even though some people might label her as an influencer,
I would say she owns a brand, and she's the face of a brand.
She's a content creator. She creates content, and people are interested in her content. She has good takes on Hollywood. She also does good interviews. So I give credit where credit's due. She's doing some awesome work. So thank you to her. Thank you guys for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you guys like and subscribe. If you're listening, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts, on the Apple app. Also, check us on social media. Yes, we're on social media, believe it or not. What year is this? we're on Instagram, TikTok. We have a private Facebook group called Off the Record, which you guys should be in. There's no excuse. It's a really cool community. Follow me at Adam Glenn, follow Dax Holt at Dax Holt, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
A Huda Media Production.